The following audio is brought to you by Summerside Community Church in London, Ontario. For more information on Summerside, visit us online at www.summersidechurch.ca.
Today we're talking about prayer because we're in part four of our series, Living to Last. Devin started the series a number of 3 weeks back, and the first week he talked about the fact that life is hard. Life is difficult. It's not easy. Just because you are a Christian doesn't mean that life is going to be easy for you. You have three enemies. You have the world system that we live in is against what we do as a church, what Christ is doing on this earth. That's constantly bombarding you as you go through life. You have your sinful flesh, our natural sinful inclinations that tempt us to turn away from God, that discourage us from following Christ. We also have the devil who is actively trying to destroy you. Do you realize that? Most of us in North America don't think about that. I grew up in Brazil where we saw demonic stuff happen, not on a regular basis, but we saw it. I remember being in a service where people would start, a young man was just screaming in the middle of the service. Obviously a demonic issue. I'm not going to get into that kind of stuff. But Satan is clearly seeking to destroy you. And I really believe that sometimes you could be sitting in church and you're just feeling a little drowsy and you just sort of tune out. That could be Satan just getting you to turn away, and you have to be aggressive in seeking to do what's right, to aggressively concentrate, aggressively do what's right in order to respond properly. But you don't need to be discouraged, because the second thing that we saw in the second week is that you will persevere, that God has his hand on you, that you're in Christ's hand. He will make sure that you persevere, but you need to do your part to endure, and you can endure through whatever difficulties you find. And then the third week, last week, we saw that we have a guidebook. God has given us a guidebook, his word, and we can use his word to give us the truth that we need to understand how to get through the different challenges that we face in life. And we need that. Today we want to go to the next step and understand that once we have understood the enemy, once we know that we have the guidebook, there's something else we can do. There's a plan of attack that we have. You know, when you think about the battle plan, some people think, you know, maybe we really need to be aggressive. We need to go out there and really attack Satan and be like some of the street preachers in London, you know, pointing out sin, and everybody, it's like, oh, you're sinning, you're doing this, you're doing that. Well, that's not what the Bible tells us to do. In fact, the Bible tells us to do something quite different. But we're not on our own. We do have a battle that we're facing. And in fact, one of the most common images that you find in all of Scripture for the Christian life is that of a battle. We are in a battle, but it's not an attack mode. Instead, it's something else. And we're going to look at a verse in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. I want to encourage you to turn there. Ephesians 6:18, it's on page 1177. Now, as soon as you turn there, some of you are going to say, oh, I know this chapter, because in the heading in your Bible, there's probably something like spiritual warfare or the armor of God, or it'll be, have some kind of heading like that. Because in verses 10 through 17, there's this section where Paul talks about us taking on the full armor of God. Okay? And let me point out a key word that you need to understand before we get to verse 18. So look at verse 11. Now follow along. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your what? Are you following? Stand. Okay? Take your stand against the devil's schemes. Verse 13. Put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to what? Stand. Verse 14, what's the first word? Stand firm then. Are you getting a sense of what Paul is trying to get at here? You see, the battle is real, but it doesn't mean you need to go into attack mode and find somebody to start, you know, to fight with. No, the goal is for you to stand when you are attacked. The assumption is you are going to be attacked by the world, the flesh, and the devil. You are going to face attack. And the goal is for you to be able to stand firm when you are attacked, when you are attacked. See, Paul is not telling them to put on the armor so they can go out and do something, but so that they can stand firm and not be destroyed in the middle of this attack. But it doesn't mean we're just passive. It doesn't mean you sit there with your arms crossed and, you know, hope that nothing bad happens to you. No, there is an action that is taking place here. And in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, this is where he tells them what they need to do in order to stand firm. In the verses before that, he tells them to put on the different pieces of armor. And in verse 18, he's telling them what they need to do. So let me read that for you. Ephesians 6, 18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Now, the basic command is to do what? Pray, right? That's the basic command, is to pray. And scholars, debate. It's, you know, when you're studying for a sermon, it's great reading different, you know, commentators on stuff. And the scholars debate, say, okay, maybe what Paul is doing here is giving another piece of the armor, prayer as another piece of the armor. But there seems to be a real distinction in what he says, because he talks about, you know, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, the feet fitted with. But then he says, pray. This is a command. So I see this not as another piece of armor, but as the battle strategy. This is the strategy that you need to engage in once you put on the full armor of God. You need to make a choice to pray. And when you read verses 10 through 18, it sounds a lot like the final speech that a commander is giving to his soldiers before they head out to battle, right? He says, you guys, we're going to be into this battle. You need to have your helmet on. You need to have your shield. You need to have your sword. You need to be ready, because we're going to go out and fight. And what's the next thing you expect him to say? Now get out there and fight as hard as you can. But that's not what he says. That's what you would expect, but what does he say? You guys have your armor on. Now you need to pray. Say, wait a second, Paul. Pray? Is that what you're asking us to do? It's like, what kind of battle plan is that? Don't you realize this is a war? Don't you realize that this isn't a prayer meeting, Paul? This is a battle that we're in. Well, you need to think about what kind of battle Paul is talking about. Look at verse 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Okay, talking about physical flesh and blood. Our battle is not, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Paul uses these phrases several times in his writings to clearly talk about spirit beings, demonic beings led by Satan himself, that is out to destroy God's people. Do you realize that being a Christian is a lot more difficult than not being a Christian? In the sense that if you're not a Christian, Satan really doesn't care about you too much, because he's got you where he wants you. Right? But you know, and I know some of you have testimonies how the day that you followed Christ and you put your faith in Christ, it's like life got way more difficult than you ever dreamed it would be. It's like, man, it's way more difficult than I thought it would be. Well, why is that? Because now you're in a battle. Because before that, Satan had you where he wanted you. He didn't need to somehow stop you from moving forward. But if you have chosen to follow Christ, you've chosen to follow Satan's number one enemy. And Satan doesn't like that, and he's going to do whatever he can to try to prevent you from moving forward. Now, do you remember the story of David and Goliath? Of course, most of you remember that. David, this little young man, goes up against Goliath, this giant of a guy that everybody was scared to fight. And Goliath was saying, send one person out to fight me, and whoever wins the battle. And everybody in Israel was scared to fight. And David says, I'm going to go out and fight him. King Saul said, okay, David, you need to put some armor on. And he gives him his armor. And this, you know, little David's carrying this big Saul's. He says, I can't do this. In fact, he says, in 1 Samuel. I can't, this isn't what I need. And he puts that aside, gets 5 stones, goes out against Goliath. And remember what he says? You come against me with physical weapons, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel. And he defeats Goliath. You see, we can't depend on our abilities. We can't depend on our wisdom, our tact. It isn't our strength. Our trust has to be in God alone. We're in a battle. It's very real. And if we're going to stand, Paul is telling us that if you're going to live to last, it doesn't depend on your ability to take up the battle, to take up the armor. It doesn't depend on how good your shield is. It doesn't depend on how much confidence you have. It even doesn't even depend on how strong your faith is. You realize that? It isn't about how much faith you have. We get sometimes we get a little confused thinking that, you know, I have to believe really, really hard. It's like, what does that mean? It's like belief is simply saying, yeah, I accept it. It's true. And I accept it to the point that I'm going to act upon it. I'm going to act because it is true. And Paul says, you need to understand the battle is spiritual. Therefore, you're not going to do it on your own. Standing firm isn't about me and what I can do. It's about God, what he has done, and my confidence that I'm going to place in him and my trust in him to do it. So the action plan is simply to pray. And Paul, in verse 18, gives us some specifics about the kind of praying that we need to be doing. You know, all Christians pray, right? If I asked you to put your hand, I'm not going to. But if I asked you, how many of you pray? Everybody prays, right? We all pray sometimes in some ways and in some consistency and some of the time. And Paul is saying, look, you need to substitute the some for all, right? And isn't that what he says? Notice that all appears 4 times in this verse. All or always. It's all the same word. And so if we're going to change our some to all, what's it going to look like? There are 5 characteristics of our prayers that he gives us here. The first one is pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Now, what does that mean? If you read Paul's writings, you find there are a number of things he says about the Spirit's work. He tells us to live by the Spirit in Galatians 5:16. Galatians 5:18, we are led by the Spirit. In Ephesians 3:16, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Spirit. So think about praying in the Spirit in light of what Paul says about the Spirit. So if we are led by the Spirit, it means that we pray following the Spirit's guidance, following the Spirit's prompting. If we're filled with the Spirit, it means we pray dependent on his power, not depending on our ability, not depending on our wisdom, depending on the Spirit, recognizing that it's about God and what he's doing. And even if you're at a loss for words, there's a fascinating passage in Romans 8:26 where Paul says, even when you don't know how to pray or what to pray for, the Spirit intercedes for us on our behalf. We can trust the Spirit to pray when we don't even know what to say. The main theme in all these verses boils down to one thing. Here's the one key word, and if there's nothing else you get this morning, this is the one thing you need to understand about prayer. It's all about dependence. It's all about dependence. And if you and I don't understand the fact that we are dependent on God for everything, we're never going to understand prayer. Because prayer, the reason why we don't pray is because we don't understand dependence. That's the main theme. You see, every time I say, don't pray or forget to pray or ignore prayer, I'm basically declaring my independence, saying, God, I can handle this. thanks for your offer of help, but I'm okay, thank you very much. I'm doing quite well. In fact, yesterday I got through just fine without praying, right? And everything turned out okay, so I think today will be just fine too, so I don't need to pray today either. Because we're independent people. We think we can make it on our own. We don't need God. That's what we essentially are saying. Prayer is a declaration of dependence upon God. And if we could get a grip on the fact that you and I are totally dependent upon God, that every day we go through, that every cell, you know, in our bodies, I mean, I'm realizing this every year I get older, you know, things happen in your body and it's like, I got weird symptoms going on. It's like, I could be dead tomorrow, right? You could too. Any one of us could be dead. Now, if there's a funeral tomorrow, somebody's going to say, Mark was a prophet. No. We could be dead tomorrow, right? There could be things going on in our body we have no idea about. Why are we alive? Because God wants us to be alive today. Why are you not hit by a bus tomorrow? Because God is the one who can direct your past. God is the one who can protect you. And you and I need to live with this sense that unless God works, unless God is control, unless God protects us, we're in trouble. Unless God provides for our needs, we're in trouble. We are totally dependent upon God for everything. And that's also true as a church. That's why as a church we choose to pray. Because we need to be dependent upon God for everything that happens. That's the main theme. Now that helps explain the reason why God asks us to pray even though he is sovereign. Prayer is how we express our dependence upon God. That's why we don't just pray once and leave it. We pray regularly. He wants us to keep praying because we need to continually express our dependence and our need for God to act. And that's why God says, you be persistent and pray. Keep praying. Don't give up. The second characteristic that we find in this verse is to pray constantly. He says, notice he says they're on all occasions. Now, why would we need to pray constantly? Well, very simply, because the battle is constant, right? It's not like we get a break. It's not like there's a time when Satan says, okay, I'm a little tired. I need to go on vacation here. No, the battle is constant. So you need to pray constantly. Now, you look at the Bible and you find different times that people prayed. You know, you find Daniel prayed 3 times a day. Jesus prayed all night. David prayed in the morning. So which one should we follow? Well, let me suggest another example that Paul gives us in 1 Timothy 5, verse 5. Paul says, the widow who is really in need and left all alone puts her hope in God and continues night and day to pray and to ask God for help. You know, widows in those days were destitute. If they didn't have family that were caring for them, they had nothing. And Paul says, a widow is in a situation where she's just crying out to God day and night. And really, that's the example that you and I need to understand. We need to be in a situation where we are desperate. And the reason why we don't pray more than we do is because we don't think we need it. Right? We don't need it. We'll get through fine. We need to learn how to pray. If we would just stop and see ourselves as spiritual widows that are in desperate trouble without God. If we would recognize there is a sense in which every day is a crisis. We need to realize that we're facing a spiritual battle, and today we could face a major attack. Now, I'm not suggesting that we need to walk around with our eyes closed. Right? It's like, no, we need to learn to pray with our eyes open. In fact, we need to learn to pray not thinking that every day, you know, I have to be mouthing certain words. It's living with an attitude of dependence. I'm not suggesting you need to tell your boss, say, well, sorry, boss, I gotta stop this job for a second. Stop the assembly line. I gotta take some time to pray. No, you need to learn to pray while you're doing everything. Because it's about being dependent upon God in everything that I do. And as I'm going through my life, recognizing that I need God. And I don't do this consistently, and I'm sure it's one of those things we all struggle with. You talk to some of the greatest saints of history, and they all express the fact that they need to grow in an understanding of prayer and in the practice of prayer. Now, closely connected with praying constantly is the third characteristic of prayer that we find in this verse. And that's pray with variety. He says with all kinds of prayers and requests. Our tendency is to get stuck in a rut, right? Pray for the same thing over and over again and use the same words and not really think about how we pray. We need to learn to not pray for just pray for sick people. Now, we do that as a church. In fact, in your worship guide, you'll notice that there's a section on prayer. Doug Squire does a good job of updating this section for us every week about thinking about what are some things that we can pray for. That's why we give this to you. We want you to use this to help you to pray with not just thinking about praying for sick people, but praying for the kingdom of God, praying for the battle that you're facing, praying for people in different parts of the world that need our support. So we need to pray with variety, with thinking about different things. One of the quickest things that is going to kill our prayer life is vain repetition, saying the same thing over and over again, even if it's the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer doesn't mean anything if you're not thinking about it, right? If you're just mouthing words, you're wasting your time. Jesus even said that. The Lord's Prayer wasn't given as a little mantra that you recite over and over again. It was given as a model for prayer to help you to understand that when you pray, you address the Father, that you pray for God's kingdom, that you pray for your daily needs, that you pray for what God is doing around the world. It's an example for us to follow. It's not just something you meaninglessly repeat. So we pray in the Spirit. We pray constantly. We pray with variety. And then fourth, we pray without giving up. Paul says, be alert and always keep on praying. Those two concepts go together, being alert and praying. And the main reason why we don't pray is our lack of alertness. Remember the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus says, wait here. I'm going to go and pray. You wait here and pray. And what did they do? They fell asleep. And as soon as Peter wakes up, what's the first thing he does? He almost starts a battle, right? He cuts off the servant's ear and almost gets himself killed because he wasn't being alert, because he wasn't aware of what was going on. Do you know what Peter wrote years later? I find this fascinating. Because knowing that Peter was the one who was not alert, Peter was the one who in the moment when he should have been praying was startled out of his sleepiness and almost got himself killed. And what does he say years later in 1 Peter 5:8? He says, be alert and sober and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Satan wants to destroy you. And if you're not alert, if you're not aware of the fact that there is a battle going on, if you're going through this series thinking, yeah, that's interesting. That's Mark and Devin has got this idea. There's some kind of battle going on. Yeah, they're just, you know, yeah, just trying to make it bigger than what it is. No, it's real. And if you're just ignoring it, you're in danger. Peter says, I've been there. I know what it's like. And in fact, it can happen right here when you're in church. You know those times when I know what it's like. You're sitting there and it's like, yeah. I know it's for lunch today, and it's like, and then all of a sudden you're thinking about tomorrow and this week, and all of a sudden God is trying to communicate something to you. There's something in the word that's being preached, and it's like your mind is just, whoo, you're gone. Do you think that only happens because of your flesh? Sometimes I really believe sometimes it's Satan just saying, Mark needs to hear this. Let's just get him thinking about something else. Let's use his lack of alertness, his lack of attention, and just sort of drift him off. Or it's like, yeah, he didn't get a good sleep last night. Let's just take advantage of that and just make him feel a little drowsier. Just go to sleep so that he doesn't pay attention to the truth that could change his life. You're in a battle. You need to be alert. Your enemy is waiting to destroy you. We need to keep alert, to keep praying, to recognize we're in trouble if we don't. It all comes back to the issue of dependence. I need to learn my dependence upon God. Now, there's a fifth characteristic of prayer that Paul gives us. And he ends off by saying, keep on praying for all the Lord's people. And he emphasizes throughout his letter that we're members of the church. We're members of Christ's body. It's global. All over the world, the church is active. The kingdom of God is spreading all over the world. And the spiritual battle that you and I are in is not about our success. It's not about our victory. It's not about our comfort. So easy to be praying about those things. So easy to pray, you know, God, make life easier for me. Help me to be okay. Make me feel better. I got a headache, you know, take it away. And we get so self-centered. And we miss the fact that it's not about God. The battle is not just about me. The battle is about the kingdom of God. It's bigger than that. And it's interesting that in the very next verses here, Paul asks people to pray for him. Right after he says this, he says, now you need to, I want you to pray for me. Why does he want them to pray for him? So that the next time he goes for a trip, things go well and he has a smooth voyage? No. He says, I want you to pray for me that I can speak the truth clearly because the message, the gospel needs to be proclaimed to the whole world. And I'm out there doing it and I need you to be praying for me so that I can do it effectively. Because Paul understood it wasn't about him. It's about the kingdom of God. And when you and I pray, there's a time to pray for our needs, for our situation. But think about why do you want to be healthy? Is it just so that you don't have to be in pain? Or is it because you recognize that the kingdom of God, you can serve the kingdom of God if you're healthy? Are you praying that you'll have more money? Why? So that you can go on vacation next year? Or are you praying for more money so that you can contribute more? So that you can help Chelsea Green start a church and we can start other churches in this city. You see, we need to get this perspective that prayer is asking God to act because we're dependent upon Him as we seek to serve His kingdom. As we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. If we're serious about that, then we pray for our needs, our daily bread to be met so that we can serve God in His kingdom. So when you think of the battle we're in, we can't just be praying for our needs and ourselves because we're part of a worldwide kingdom. So pray in the Spirit. Pray constantly. Pray with variety. Pray without giving up. Pray globally. Do it. Now, prayer is much easier to talk about than it is to practice. So some of you are probably thinking, you know, yeah, I probably should do more. I probably need to pray more. I need to improve my prayer life. But what do I do? Where do I start? Well, at the end of your worship guide, not the end, at the end of that section, let me encourage you to get that out and look at, I've given you 5 resources for prayer. The first one is one of the best books on prayer by Tim Keller. Our library has it. I would encourage you to buy it and get your own copy and use it and reread it. I'm rereading my copy because it's great. The second one is a sample prayer that I adapted from a professor I had years ago, and I've used it not regularly, but on occasion I pull it out and go through it. It's a warfare prayer. It's similar to what the men's boot camp hands out. They do a shorter version of going through the armor of God. This is a more extensive version, but it's helping you think through what Paul says about spiritual warfare and how you can pray that and learning. It's designed to be a tool to learn how to pray for the battle that you're in. The third thing is a phone app. I really like Prayer Mate. It's a free app. It helps you to organize the things that you need to pray for in lists. So you could have a list of 20 things and you can say, I want 2 of those things every day to pray for. And the app will give you, make up a list for you to pray for it. I would encourage you to check that out if that's something you enjoy doing. The last one is a sample prayer that comes out every day by Scotty Smith. I have been through this. I got it as a book but it's on the web for free and you can actually subscribe to it directly in the app and they'll give you the daily prayer. Scotty Smith is just a wonderful pastor. We heard him speak at our pastor's conference. And he just has a way of praying. And I just enjoy reading through his prayers and using them as my own prayers. And so those are some resources. Now here's the challenge. The challenge is, If you understand that you're dependent upon God, you need to do something in your prayer life, then choose one thing that you're going to do different. You need to make a choice, right? Do something to improve your prayer life and share it with your community group to say, here's what I need to do. And I want you to pray with me and help me to do this, to take this step, because I'm in a battle. Life is difficult and I am dependent upon God, and I need to express that dependence upon God through prayer. Father, help us to understand our dependency upon you. We need you. Help us to be able to stand firm in life's battle so that we can live for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.